Well, I want to continue to encourage you to send in those cards and letters. Send in your questions in the offertory. So if you have questions, just stick it in the offering plate, and we'll try to get to them. This question this past week dealt with marriage, and the question is, what exactly is marriage? It's a pretty good question, isn't it?
It's a good question.
So I'm going to have you turn to the book of Ephesians, if you'll turn there with me. Book of Ephesians. In which something marvelous is to being described, and that is the promises of God, the blessings of God to those that are His church. In fact, he starts off in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And He chose us. Think about this. There's a sense of elitism here, in the sense that He chose us. You know, if somebody, what makes somebody feel special? Well, that somebody selects them, that somebody chooses them. So the whole selection thing is a marvelous thing, isn't it? That God chose us. When did He choose us? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless to Him. He then begins to describe how we then were chosen and how we even came to understand this special position. We pick up in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13. "In Him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now that's an interesting phrase. You were actually sealed in Him, and He made a promise to you. Now if you look with me in verse 14, He then describes this. "Who is given as a pledge." You can put in there, "who is given as a security," "who is given as an earnest," "who is given as a down payment." Or actually, the modern Greek translates this, "who is given as an engagement ring." That's pretty interesting, isn't it? God was making a promise to you. And how did He do it? Engagement ring of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that I'm His? He has sealed me, the Holy Spirit. Well, can He divorce me? Well, not according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You'll look with me. It says this in Ephesians 4, 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." It is a down payment until the day you're redeemed, brought together with Him. Of course, we see Christ in Revelation as He gathers together the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19. What is that about? It's about the redemption of the bride. So what is marriage? Well, marriage is a symbol of fidelity, faithfulness. It is a devotion to one. It is saying to this one, "You are more important to me than anything." And it is making a commitment, establishing a sense of comfort to that individual that they aren't. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. It says this in chapter 13, verse 1. It's an interesting verse to begin with. It states, "Let love" what?
"Of the brethren continue."
Continue. Look at that word. Don't let it stop. Don't let it be interrupted by anything. Well, that's the love of God, isn't it? That's why Ephesians chapter 5 will turn to husbands and it'll say, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." What does he mean by that? Uninterrupted love. Don't ever stop. That's the love of God. That's the devotion of God. And when you come in marriage, you're making a promise. For better, for worse, sickness and in health, till death do us part. You made a promise. You put a ring on that finger saying, "I will stay true to you until the end." Hebrews 13 starts off, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect, show hospitality, strangers." Some have entertained messengers of God, whether it be angels of God or whether it be His own saints, without even knowing it. "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. He's specifically talking about Christians who have been ill-treated for their faith. Then he states this, almost out of the blue, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Then he interjects this, let your way of life be free from the love of money. Isn't that strange? Why would he couple those two together, marriage and money? Gee, I wonder why. I wonder how many times people have separated over money. How money has become more important than a relationship. Let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I'll be true to you. I'll never desert you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you hear him? He's saying the same thing in marriages. You say the same thing to your spouse. I'll never leave you. I'll be faithful. That's the spirit of Christ within you. Marriage is this marvelous picture of what Christ has done for us. And we uphold that picture in our relationship. We are faithful because he is faithful within us. You and I have received the spirit of Christ, who is faithful to the end. And we make promises to one another. A marriage, a wedding, is a moment of promise in which we make a commitment. I will remain true to the end. And the broader picture then is proclaimed to the world. They worship a God who is faithful, who is true. A wonderful, wonderful symbol, isn't it? As well as a truth that we're allowed to live. And I can't think of anything that could be more comforting than to know that there's somebody on your side that promises that they will not leave you. And I am so thankful that God has made that promise to us. Father, I want to give you thanks for these pictures that you give us throughout all of history, these pictures of how much you love us and how faithful you are to us and how important we are to you. God, thank you for these pictures. In Jesus' name, amen.